Okay, so we have the new perek, Ayin Dal Amud Aleph, Ketzad Solon. The mission begins. We only have 30 minutes or so. So Ketzad Solon, Esa Pesach. How does one roast the Pesach properly? Mevin Shaput Shel Rimon. You bring a type of Shaput Shel Rimon, a skewer of a Rimon tree, pomegranate tree. V'tochful toch piv. You stick it into the animal's mouth, Ad Beis Nekuvoso, until the end of the animal. And you take its lower legs and you take its innards and you stuff it inside the animal, and then you have it hanging on a skewer roasting from the fire. That's the image of Yosigli. That's how you roast in Pesach properly. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kimin Bishel Huzeh. Doing such a case is actually more like Bishel, and the Pasuk says it has to be tzli, roasted, not cooked in liquid. Rashi explains it's Bishel, three lines from the top, Kimin Bishel Huzeh, Shemivashel B'nei Me'av B'socha, because all the innards, everything from the inside is there, is a liquid, Kimo B'socha K'der. It's like cooking something in a pot. Here it draws, so the body of the animal serves as a pot, and all the B'nei Me'av serves as a liquid, that would be Bishel. So then Rabbi Kiva says, how is a proper way to do the tzli? Ela tolin chutzalo. You therefore hang it from the outside. Rashi explains, tolin chutzalo, tochvin b'shaput lemala, b'mipiv shaltle. You stick one of these sticks on top of the mouth of the gedi, and the gedi is hanging out, but nothing is stuck inside cooking it. It's all just hanging from this skewer on top, roasting that way. That's the machlokas of Yossi Rabbi Kiva. Ein tolin sa pesach. So what you cannot use for the shapud is lo al shapud, which Rashi tells us of shel barzel. You can't use a brass type of skewer. Lo al askala, which Rashi tells us is grills, belashon belaz. So it's all of a kulachat time. It's all the same reason. The Gemara is going to tell us why you can't use metal for a skewer. It has to be some type of wood. Amar Rabbi Tzadok, Maisev Rabbi Gamliel, She'amar L'tavi Avdo, Tzei V'tzala L'anus HaPasach V'al Aschala. Rabbi Tzadok recorded a story that happened with Rabbi Gamliel. He told this well-known Evid, Tavi Avdo, that you should make him roast in Pesach on Aschala, on type grills. The Gemara is going to ask, not today, but tomorrow, didn't the Gemara Mishnah just tell us that the grills cannot be used for roasting the Karim Pesach, and here Rabbi Gamliel tells his Evid to use it? That the Gemara will address tomorrow. It says the Gemara here, V'nisei shel matechas. So why did the Mishnah tell us to use a branch from a pomegranate tree? Why didn't it tell us to use some form of metal? Aidi d'cham miktosa chamku. This is a very important halacha. Comes up in Yerdeya, that because a little bit of the metal gets hot, the entire piece of metal will get hot as well. And it turns out, when that happens, the kamatve machmas ha-shapud, it ends up being that the Karim Pesach gets roasted because the metal, the hot metal, Rachman Amar Tzli Eish V'lo Tzli Machmas Davar Acher. The Torah says that it has to be roasted from fire, not from something else. So let's say you stick a skewer into the gedi. So the metal is going to get hot from the fire. Now the entire piece of metal, because of the skewer that's sticking out near the fire, the entire rod is now going to get hot. And the basar that's touching the metal is going to start cooking from the metal, but not cooking from the fire below or the fire above. And that's against the Torah. The Torah says it has to come from the esh, not from the shapur. So by using a wooden rod, that will obviously not get hot to cook the meat. It must be from the fire that cooks the meat. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, so you can't use metal. So v'nisi shel dekel. So why don't we use some type of a tree? I think it's like a date tree for the rod. Why do we use specifically a pomegranate tree? So Gemara says, "Aidi de islay sheve mefik maya v'havi k'mevushal." Since it has shivi, which Rashi says is kanlier, she also shuros. There are lines in it. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there are these crevices in them, these cracks, which through those cracks, the water that are inside the branch are going to come out during the roasting process, and that's going to be like bishul. So then the Gemara suggests, v'nesei shel te'ena, use a fig tree. So I guess fig trees have a smoother type of outside, so there are no cracks and crevices that the water will come through. The Gemara says, a fig tree, a branch of a fig tree won't work either. Aidi de mechalchel mafik maya v'havi leik mevusho. Since it's mechalchel, Rashi says it's ke'ech shel arava, the branch of an arava tree, v'shel egel she'esh la moach mivifnim. There's some type of, I'm not sure how to say it for a tree, but for bone, it would be marrow. I'm not sure what you would call it for a branch. But there's something inside of it which will cause it, also after roasting it in the fire, will cause the liquid to come out, and it will be bishel, won't be tzli. So then the Gemara suggests, well, maybe Vinisi shel Alon shel Charuv shel Sikma may bring this other type of trees, which I guess doesn't have a Mechalcha, doesn't have this type of Moach inside of it. So the Gemara says that won't work either. I did the Isbe Kitre Mapik Mayim. So since it has kitre, which literally means like a kesher, a knot in them, so Rashi explains, Aidi de ispehu kitre, who boil the mishinu misakin. You have to cut off these little knots, these little bumps that are on those trees we just suggested. Rashi explains, mapik maya derech mokum chate chazakin. So once you slice it off, now even though it looks smooth, but there are these still your cuts now where you cut the knife, havle pesach mevushal. That's going to allow any liquid to come out once you've cracked open the branch. So we're left with, the Gemara says, so once we have Rimon, so says the Gemara, Shel Rimon Nami Isbe Kitre. Well, Rimon also has these type of knots, and wouldn't you have to cut them off? And but then when cutting them off, it's going to be causing liquid, the water, to come out of the branch and be Bishul. The Gemara says, no, Eshei Kitre. The knots that exist on the Rimon are somewhat smooth. Rashi explains, Shei Kitre V'ein Tzarech Lahavir Sakin Alem. You don't have to slice them off, you don't have to smooth them out, because even though there are these knots, which again, I'm not really sure what it refers to, bumps, they are smoother type of bumps, and therefore it won't require cutting them open, and there won't, no water will come out during the cooking process. So that's what the Gemara concludes, that Rimon, the H. Rimon, is the best, is the only thing perhaps, only type of branch to be used to roast the Pesach. The Gemara suggests something else, V'ibaisema, alternatively, B'navga, Bar Shasa the Lesbe Kitre, which means it's a rimon during the first year of its planting. It hasn't yet developed these knots. It had been an older type of pomegranate tree, it would have these knots, and you would have to cut them off. This is a very young type of tree which didn't have these knots yet, and those are the type you're allowed to use. Says the Gemara now, according to both answers we just said, Vaha Ika Be Pascha. So don't we have the place where they cut off the branch, you cut it off from the tree. So once you cut off the tree, there's, we just said before, whenever there's a slice or a crevice in the branch, that's going to allow any of the water or the liquid from the branch to come out. So obviously you cut off this branch to now use it, so doesn't that slice from the branch to the end of the branch have an opening and allow all the water to come out, drip out, and cause it to be bishul? The Gemara says, demapik libe piske, you were to take out the cut area, libar, you stuck it out. So you had a long, long branch. So the end that got cut off, make sure to put the meat on the other end of the branch, far away from the slice, so any liquid that will come out will just drip to the bottom and will not be mevashel the gedi. Explain to the Gemara now, masnisin delo Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not go according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kishem sheshapot shel eitz eno nisraf, kach shapot shel metachas eno marsiach. No. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the qualities of the metal are similar to the qualities of the fire. Just like when you use a wooden type of rod, it's not going to turn fire. There's going to be heat there. But the heat will not turn the wood, won't make the wood go into fire. Only real fire will, but not heat. So too, the heat will not cause the metal to boil, will not cause the whole metal to get the entire rod to be hot. And therefore, seemingly, Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to use a metal rod, metal skewer. Amrullah, the Chum responds to Rabbi Yehuda, Zecham Miksasa Cham Kulo, Zecham Miksasa Eino Cham Kulo. No, it's not true. They're completely different. When part of the wood branch gets hot, it doesn't cause the rest of the branch to get hot. But metal, we know, just do some scientific, not even scientific, just test it out. You see when you start, some of the metal begins to get hot, the entire rod of metal will get hot as well, and therefore you cannot draw a comparison between wood and metal. But either way, our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like the Chachamim. The Gemara says now, "V'nosein eskaria v'chula." You place the bottom of the legs and you stuff all the innards inside this gedi according to Rabbi Yossi, and you cook it all together. Tani Rabbi Shmuel, kareu tochto. According to Rabbi Yossi Glili, you'd refer to this type of cooking of Rabbi Yossi Glili as tochto, because it would make this type of sound because there was liquid inside, and Rabbi Yossi Glili allowed this liquid because it was all part of the animal. It caused this bubbling sound, called a sound like toch toch. That's how they referred to the roasting of Rabbi Yossi Glili as toch toch, because the sound it would make. Rabbi Tarfon Kareo Gedi Mekulos, he referred to it as Gedi Mekulos, which Gemara already used a few times, which Rashi in the bottom says, this is Rashi, two narrow lines from the bottom, Mekulos Lashon Kova Nechoshes. It's a metal type of copper type of hat. The Mitargaminon Kulso de Nechosha, the Sphirlech Tolan Lamala Barosho. So somehow the image of sticking all the legs and everything inside gives an appearance of a hat, and that's how they would refer to this cooking of roasting everything together within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Hagli. Tan Rabbanan, Ezug di Mekulos, the Aser Lechel Belele Pesach Bizman Hazeh. We spoke about this earlier, a couple blot earlier. In Makom Shinagu, that's Aser to eat a Gdi, that's Mekulas, because that was the way they ate in the Beis HaMikdash. So Bizman Hazeh, we are not allowed to eat it in Mekulas, because it would be too similar to that of what was eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. So what is this Gdi Mekulas that was forbidden, that is forbidden in Bizman Hazeh? Explains the Gemara, Kol Shetzalo Kulo Ke'echad. Whenever you roast an entire Gdi as one, however, Nechtach Mimenu Eivar, you cut off one of the limbs of it, Nishlak Mimenu Eivar, or you cooked, not roasted, but you cooked one of the Eivarim of it, Ein Zeh Gdi Mekulos, that does not consider Gdi Mekulos, that would be permitted. So if you wanted to roast a chicken for a Pesach night, simply cut off one of the limbs, or cook one of the limbs, and the rest you could roast. Says the Gemara now, Hashta, Yesh Lomar Nechtach Mimenu Eivar, Daaf Agav, the Kamat Vilei Behadei, Amr Shlo, Nishlak Mibai. So now that we've established that if you cut off a limb, even though you ended up roasting that limb, everything has been roasted but it's been sliced off, it's not a problem, meaning you're allowed to eat it. So do you have to tell me also that if Nishlak Mibai, that if it was cooked, if you cooked part of the limb, that would be okay? Certainly that would be okay. Again, if the entire chicken was roasted, although one limb was roasted separately, that's okay. Certainly if one of the limbs were cooked, the rest of the chicken can be roasted as well. What's the chiddush here? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Sheshalka v'mechuber. No, where you cooked it while it was still attached. So the chiddush is, you're allowed to eat something when you cut it, even though you roasted everything together. And you're allowed to eat something, even though it's all together, as long as you cooked just one limb. But what you cannot do is roast the entire thing together. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Hai mol yaisa sharim. Well, yaisa is meat that was not salted. So salted meat, unsalted meat, is permitted. I think that's how they explain this. But it's specifically when Rashi explains, five lines from the bottom, Haimolaisa in Dora Blaz, don't know what that really means. Is there like an English translation for Molaisa?
Stuffed.
Yeah. But it's not stuffing that we use. Stuffing, using meat as stuffing, though. Like we write stuffing between the meat and the flesh. Sharya, afilo bishlas abasar, shenos na tocha. Even though you don't actually cook the meat that you're filling in. So our filling, I'm not sure what filling, you probably know. What's used for filling? Like for turkeys, I don't know what they use. But they would use like meat for filling. Oh yeah? Okay. So this, for what? Okay. Fine. So this case, so even though the meat that was used for the stuffing was never cooked, shenosin l'tocha mutter, v'afil malcha k'michat tzli, t'i b'mlicha kol tzarech l'kder p'shita. Okay, fine. An issue of salting. We'll see in a second. We'll see a number of cases about this molaisa. So it's permitted to be eaten. So amr lei v'ha kabbalah dama. Why is it permitted? If you never salted it, Zirashi explains, v'ha kabbalah hatle dam hayotzim n'abasa karnes besocho. What happens was you took some of the meat that was unsalted. You used that unsalted meat as stuffing. So if it was unsalted, that means there's blood within this meat. Now when you start to roast and you start to cook it, so the meat used for stuffing, which has blood in it, is going to go into the meat around it now. Let's say I have a gedi. I have a goat. I want to stuff that goat up when I cook it. So I take some meat, unsalted meat, stuff the gedi. And then, yes, nice plump gedi, I start roasting it. When you start to roast it, the unsalted meat that's used as stuffing, the blood inside that is going to start going into the gedi. So now the gedi can be aser, because the blood is going to go from the unsalted meat into the gedi. How then does Rabba permit the molaisa to be eaten? So it says the Gemara, Amar lei, kibola kach polta. Just like it gets absorbed, the gedi absorbs the blood from the unsalted stuffing, so too, it's going to spit out, pull it, it's going to spit out the blood. So it's going to go into the gedi, and then the gedi is going to spit out the blood further, and then it's going to be completely fine.
Well, what are they trying to accomplish? What would be the reason to take a gedi and fill it with meat?
Maybe just for more flavor, more taste. Like we use stuffing, they'd use different types of meat as stuffing. That, my guess, I really don't know why other than that.
The Jews, you see sometimes they people will serve like a chicken cutlet or something, like pastrami inside of it or something. You've seen this? Mm-hmm. But here they're doing an entire animal.
Maybe it gives, it adds flavor to it though. No? I imagine maybe flavor.
Try it.
So the Gemara says, so is that really true that kibola kachpolta, when the gedi absorbs the blood and then it spits it out? Nema mesaila, let's bring a support for this. Our Mishnah says, no sin es krov ves bnei maya of letocha. You place the bottom legs of the gedi and you place the innards into the side, the entire gedi. Why is that permitted? My time. Lav mishum damrinan kibolo kachpolta. So why do we allow that to happen? So what would the potential problem be? So I guess it's not, we're talking about unsalted, is that the case here?
We're still going right to the unsalted, I assume.
Right, so I guess we're assuming it's unsalted. So all the blood there, so do we not assume that kibolo kachpolto? So the blood that once you stick the innards and the legs inside the gedi, so there's blood inside those legs, it's going to go into the gedi, but then the gedi is going to spit it out, there's not going to be a problem. Exactly. So Sigmar says, I mean, no, shiny, halsam, over there is different. Because the place where you shech the gedi is completely open, and all the blood is going to go out from that opening. It's not going to stay within. It's going to, not because it gets absorbed by the gedi and then out. There's an opening for the blood to just shoot right out. And the Gemara says, "Mi dev divi," all the blood is going to just flow out of the beis hashchita, and it's not going to get absorbed at all in the outer of flesh. The Gemara says, "Okay, I'll bring you a different support." Name of Messiah, Halev, bring another support as follows. Halev, Kare, Omote, Hesdamo. You take a heart of an animal, you tear it, and you take out all the blood. However, Lo Karo, let's say you did not tear it, and then you cooked it. Karo, Lacher, Bishul, then you can tear it after you've baked it. My time, what's the reason for this? La Mishum Damrin and Kibolo Kachpoto. So obviously there's a lot of blood in the heart. So if you, let's say you didn't cut it, you cooked it whole, so why are you allowed to eat it? Rip it afterwards. So it must be, but we assume that the heart, the outside of the heart, absorbs the blood there inside. That's inside the heart. And then it begins to pull it, it begins to spit it out. That's why it's permitted to eat it afterwards. Even though you just tear it open, you have to tear it open after the bishul, but most of the blood had been already removed because of kibolo kachpoto. The Gemara says, no. Again, my time, Allah mishun damin and kibolo kachpoto. Gemara says, no, shiny lave this shia. The lave, the heart, is very different. The material, but the texture of it is shia. It's very smooth. There's no crevices. It can't absorb it. Rashi says, this shia of lobal. It won't be able to absorb it. So that's why you cook the heart whole. All the dam just stays inside. You tear it open after the blood just spills out. But none of the blood had been absorbed into the flesh of the heart at all. And that's why that's permitted. But there's not a raya that we assume kibolo kachpolto.
That's probably why you don't have delicacies with the heart.
Why you don't have it, you said?
When you travel and you go to some of these restaurants, you don't see on the menu like a heart delicacy.
Uh-huh.
Because the flavors are not that quality.
Uh-huh. It's I've never seen it.
Oh, it would make
sense. Right. So the Gemara says, "Nevaha Rabin Saba Tafle Hahu Barguzla." So Rabin, he roasted. Rashi says Tafle Beisa. He roasted some a young bird in Isa in dough. The Rab, he roasted it for Rab. He was serving it to Rab. Vamarle, Rab says to him, "Imale Tafle Havli Veichon." If there's Rashi says Imale Tafle Im Yesh Tam Yafe Belechem, and there's good flavor in the bread, I'm going to eat it. So why is this? Because we assume that the blood went into the bread on the outside. I think there's a case where you breaded, you put flour on the outside of the chicken, but you didn't salt the chicken yet. So you put breading outside, flour. So why is he allowed to do that? So is it not because we assume kibol kachpoto, that first the bread on the outside absorbs the blood and then it spits it out? So that's why he was able to eat this little bird. So Hagmar says, Hahi bismida de mafir. It's a type of dough that was not in nidbekas pekokach. It didn't cling very well to the little chicken here, so it had a lot of crevices, openings for the blood to just spill out. It wasn't completely sealed off by the flour on the outside. And that's why it was permitted. Not because we assume the dough is bola and then again polto, simply because it wasn't completely sealed and the blood just flew out while roasting it. Exactly. And then the Gemara says, "V'ha Rava ikle lebei Reish Chalusa." Didn't Rava visit the house of Reish Chalusa? The Tafle Bar Avza, and they also roasted for him a goose of some sort, and it was also covered in flour. And Amar, and he says, "Ilo de Chazise de Zog Kizuza Chiyura." If I didn't see that it was so clear, I wouldn't have eaten it. Lo Achim Yuneum, because the juices that were coming out of this goose was very clear; it wasn't bloody. But had it been bloody, he would not have eaten it. So why not? Why only because it was clear? Why, if it was bloody, it was red, he would not have eaten it? Visalak the daitach kibolo kachboto. If you assume it absorbs it, but then again it further spits it out, my irya kizag. Why only if it was clear? Afil kilo zignami. Also, even when it wasn't clear, even if it was red, shouldn't we assume kibolo, the dough on the outside, is going to absorb it, and then polto? So why was that the case? So Gemara says hasam bichiura. This sharir. That was a different type of a very, Rashi says, a kemach nak nikia, a white flour, clean flour, kain shalanu she'inu solas. So the clean flour, I think, sealed the goose very much and wouldn't have this feature of kibolo kachpolta because it was completely sealed. But again, I'm not sure the Metziah so much.
So basically, I think it was unlike the other case where we said it was fine flour on the outside of the dough. Here with this case, the goose case, it's white flour. Just on the white flour itself, it's not fine. It's not fine. It couldn't discharge properly. And the assumption is there's still blood inside.
Uh-huh.
And that would be the reason to say that it was bolate and it wasn't broken.
Uh-huh. So that's the texture of this white flour. Didn't have that. Does not have the ability to again spit it out. It absorbed, maintained everything within the goose, and nothing was let out.
For example, there's certain delicacy dishes that you could take a pigeon. I've seen this like a cookie sugar, and they put it in a pot and put the dough on completely top. It's completely sealed. It doesn't allow it to go out.
Interesting.
But if you were to take another type of flour, where like you're saying now, like we said in the case right before about the case of the dough, then you put a fine flour. So then in that case, it could be pulled. But if it can't be pulled, then somebody, you wouldn't have this problem.
So it depends on the type of flour that's being used.
It's a seal.
So Gemara says, so halach l'maisa, again, relevant to those who cook these things like that, hilchasa de samida, the halach l'fa, if you use samida, which we said was very fine flour, which does not cling well, does not seal very well, then bain asmik, whether or not the liquid that comes out of the bird is red, bain lo asmik, whether it's not red, shari, is permitted, because we assume the flour on the outside will not completely seal it off, and by roasting the chicken, all the blood will flow out, and you could eat it. Dichirasa, if it's a white nikia, la solis nikia, a clean type of flour, which we, as I said, a different texture, which will seal it properly, then the halacha is as follows. Izig kizuza chiyura sharia. If the liquid that comes out of the chicken is completely clear, which is not red, not blood, then we assume there's no blood there, it's permitted, even though it's sealed, there is no blood. Ilo, however, if it's not white, it's more of a blood tinge to it, then it's asur. Now, the shar kamachim, all other types of flowers, asmik asur. If it's red, it's asur. Lo asmik shari. If it's not red, then it's permitted. Okay. So again, I'm not sure how to transfer us. That's the Gemara, but I'm not sure how lach l'maisa that those types of cases are. Now, the Gemara talks further about this melaisa case. Hi, melaisa man da asur, the one who forbids eating the melaisa da asur afilu puma la tachas. Even let's say when you roasted, you stuffed the gedi with this unsalted meat, and let's say you put the opening, the base shechita, the head, towards the bottom where everything should seemingly flow out. Even there, they're going to aser. Uman the shari, the one who permits eating the stuffed, unsalted stuffed meat, permits it afilu pumalel, even if the base shechita is on top, where the blood seemingly is not going to flow out, that's permitted. Because the hilchasa malaisa shari afilu pumalel. And that's why Paskin, that we permit unsalted meat used for stuffing, even if the base shechita is on top, it's all permitted because of the idea of kibolo kachpoto. We assume the outside meat is going to absorb the blood from the unsalted meat, and then it's going to further pullate it, going to spit it out. And that's how we Paskin. Now, umsa is Rashi saying, umsa is a type of meat, I believe, right? It's a type of meat that had a nitzar badam, had like a blood clot in it. Beye, eggs, umizrake, which has the different veins in the neck area. So those, these three things, pligiba rav acha ravina. the Chol HaTorah Kula. So they argue about this. Rav Acha, Ravina argue in those three cases. The Chol HaTorah Kula, Rav Acha L'Chumra, Ravina L'Kula. That's the general klal. Rav Acha is always Machmer. The Hilchsa Karvina, we always pass like Ravina L'Kula. Lebar Mehani, except for these three, Tlas, the Rav Acha L'Kula, Ravina L'Chumra. The Hilchsa Kravach L'Kula. So we always pass in L'Kula in all the cases. The question is, who is the one being Mekil? Usually it's Ravina being Mekil, but in the three cases we just mentioned, which we're going to detail in a moment, it's actually Rav Ach who's being Mekil and we're passing like him. So hi, so this type of meat that has this blood clot, the Asmik Chaticha of Malcha, that had this red part of the meat, Umalcha, and then you salt it, Afilu Kadeira, even if you put it in a Kadeira, Shari. The Halacha is as follows. Normally, if you're supposed to salt meat, if you didn't salt the meat, if you simply roast the meat in fire, we assume all the blood flows out. If it's in a kadeira, let's say you take unsalted meat and you place it in a kadeira in water and you try to cook it, then we assume the salt will, the blood will still be remained in that pot. So in this case, however, if you salted it, afilu kadeira shari, you're allowed to, even though there's a blood clot, you're still allowed to cook it in a pot. We assume the salting took care of all the blood that was there. Shafta bishifuda shari, if you, let's say, you roasted it on one of these skewers on the rod, it's permitted also, because may David dive, then you we assume all it flowed down. So again, if you want to cook in a pot, you first have to salt it and then cook in a pot. If you want to roast it on a shepherd without even salting it, that's permitted as well. But let's say, achte agomre, you place it directly on the coals. So what happens when you place it directly on the coals? You didn't salt it yet. So that's the machlokas pligi ba ravacha ravina chad aser v'chad shari man aser, one who forbids it matzmis tamisa. They assume that it's so hot, it's next to the coal is going to shrink it, and by shrinking it's going to maintain all the blood's going to stay absorbed somehow. And man the shari, the one who permits it, mishav shari, they assume no, even in such a case, it's going to cause the blood to flow out. V'hilchsa mishav shari, we assume the blood flows out, and therefore permitted. The next two cases are the same exact structure. Quickly, we have just a few minutes. V'chein bay, same too when it comes to an egg. Chatichana u'machino, you cut it and you salt it. Afilu kadeira shari, you're allowed to cook it. Talina b'shivuda, let's say you want to hang it and roast it. Sharin, midiv doiv, the blood flows down. Achti agumer, let's say you place it on top of the coals. Pliga bay ravacha, ravina, chad aser, chad shari. Mand aser, matzmis tzomis, the one who forbids it says it shrinks. Mand the shari, mishiv shari, it says it flows out. V'chein mizuki chaticha malcha, same thing when it comes to the veins in the necks. Chatchei malchei afilu kadeira shari, you cut it and you salt it, you place it into the pot. Or you could do talia b'shifuda beis hashchita l'tasei shari midav doiv, you could hang it and the beis hashchita is at the bottom, the blood flows out. Ach the agumer, you place it on top of the coals. Pligir of acha ravina chad aser chad shari mand aser matzvis tzomis, the one who forbids it says it shrinks and maintains the absorbs the blood. Mand the shari mishav shariv, it flows out. V'hilchsa mishav shariv. We have 5 minutes. Should we go through the next stuff quickly, or should we?
We have
5 minutes. It's 6:35. Okay, so let's try to do it. Hi, the asmik chalya. This umsa, this meat that has this blood clot in it, that's very red. So chalya aser. Rashi does not go with the word chalya. So what does that mean, aser? What's the chalya? We take the word aser. Just said aser. A blood clot's aser. Is that what we're saying? The gravy. Okay, the mohal it's talking about. Okay, the gravy is aser. If it's red, lo asmik, if it's not red, chal yashar, then the gravy is permitted. Ravina amar, afil lo asmik nami chal yashar. Even if it's not red, the gravy is still forbidden, because yashar delespe shiraiki dama. It's impossible that there's a meat that has this blood clot. It's impossible that there is no blood in there. Meaning, even though it's not red, we assume there must be some blood in there. So amar le mar bar and meimar le rev ashi abba magmile gemuye. They had this story that apparently Abba would drink this type of gravy. He wouldn't be concerned, even though if there's no red stuff, he wouldn't be concerned, he would drink it. Ikidami, others would say, Rav Ashi gufei magmilei. Rav Ashi himself was one who's magmilei gemui. Not simply that he told what Abba doing, but Rav Ashi himself also drank this gravy. Amarle mar bar ameimar, Rav Ashi, Abba, hai chala de chali ba chada zimna sulo tani chali bay. So Rashi says, chala is chometz, vinegar, the chalit beit sli, ha'idna kidei lehotzi damo, lo chalit beit zimna achrisi, lefish ein bo kach od. Let's say you use vinegar at one time to roast it, which helps remove some of the blood while roasting it. Once this vinegar was used once to remove the blood, it can't be used a second time. That vinegar is done for removing, extracting blood. Maishna mechala mi tamaha, why is the vinegar any different than tama? What's tama? Weak, you said? Rashi says chala. So what's the question? Maishna machala matama de chalitan bay.
Then vinegar, which is naturally weak. Naturally weak.
Vinegar is naturally weak? Right.
No,
which weak.
Why is this different than vinegar, which is naturally weak, in which we do soak roasted meat?
So again, this is a strong vinegar that was used once. Now it becomes a weak vinegar because it's the second time. But why is it different than a naturally weak vinegar? Not all vinegar is strong, but naturally weak vinegar, which we allow you to use to remove the blood. Hasam isa li kiyuha de pere be'ena. Hach lesa li kiyuha de pere be'ena. Because other vinegars, let's say apple cider, let's say, which probably isn't such a strong vinegar, that at least has this vinegar, it's at least be'en, it's in the natural form, so it has the potency, has the natural ability to do that. But this vinegar, even though it started off very strong, once it's been used, it happens to be more diluted and much weaker than a natural type of vinegar. Although they start off at different levels, a used strong vinegar is worse than the unused weaker vinegar. And that's how the Gemara concludes. Okay.